Welcome to podcast number 6, Sinning After Receiving the Wiped Out Past. Yes, believe it or not, this is a dividing line with churches, and you would think that no matter what Christian denomination that you would be belonged to, that Jesus Christ would be the center of attention. So here we go. You just became a born-again Christian with full water baptism and even delving into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which a majority of Christians do not even bother with. Well, that's another book title all its own. But we will touch on that a little here. I had someone at my work that said to me, well, first she thought I was a Baptist and said that our belief system was wrong because your church allows people to sin and sin after being born again. I said, say what? Number one, I'm not a Baptist, although I have nothing against Baptists. They are Bible-thumping and Jesus-loving just like us crazy Pentecost. Yes, I'm a Pentecost believer. And crazy in love with it. And yeah, we are crazy at times, falling down on the floor, passed out, and slain in the Holy Spirit. I once took a friend to one of our services, and it literally scared the devil right out of him, really. I was in a conference one time, and we were all told to get up out of our seats, and as soon as we did, the evangelist waved his arms across our sanctuary, and we all fell back in our seats. At the same time, synchronized by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what I'm talking about. There's nothing boring in a Pentecostal service. Try it sometime. You'll never go back. So, we're going to go into detail as much as the Bible lets me and try and figure this sin thing out. The question is, does the Bible say we are going to the depths of the earth if we are backsliders once we become born again? Now, truly, there could be two questions and answers to this subject matter. One thing, the Old Testament goes by the God-given Ten Commandments, and remember that is pre-Christ on the subject matter of sinning. And back then, committing a sin was any of the Ten Commandments. The New Testament is all about Jesus Christ and his unfailing love for us. Yes, he truly loved the sinners. When it comes down to it, Jesus hung with the lowest of lows when he was out and about. So let's get into some scripture and see what we can find on this all-too-confusing subject matter within the walls of the church. As we see in 1 Samuel 2:30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it for me, far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, I'm positive that most of us, including you, may be a little confused with what this scripture's meaning really is. Overall, we see that those who honor the Lord will always walk before him all days, and he will honor them. But let it be known that spiritual privileges bring many responsibilities and obligations, and you will never treat them as irrevocable rights. The one word that stood out at me in this scripture is esteemed. At the very end, God surely shows that even those who despise him or just refuse to walk in his ways, he will lightly esteem, respect, and admire, so to speak. Proof positive that he still holds out hope that all sinners will repent before the second coming. And this verse is still Old Testament writing. Proof positive that even in the Old Testament, he is a forgiving God, even though he destroys many of those who stood in his way. You must still walk that straight line and praise his holy name if you are even ever to think of your healing. When it comes to the desires of your heart, no matter what it is, he expects just as much from us to work towards those desires as we expect from him. You want or need it, then work towards those needs. He might be gracious, but he hates laziness. As we see in Psalms 37, 23 through 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. For such a short two-verse scripture, this is so very powerful and covers the whole subject matter of this chapter. Let's break this verse down a bit. Number one, the verse starts off with, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes, God expects a lot from us, even though some may think that God owes them blessings and riches for just being a Christian. That is certainly couch mentality, to say the least. If we are expecting stuff from God, then we better buckle down and prove to him that we are worthy of his favors. So, in turn, we must be faithful in all we do on a daily basis. What do I mean? Well, God expects us to be a servant first and foremost to others before we should even think that we have the right to ask him to help take care of us and to give us the blessings of our hearts. When you are truly ordered up by the Lord, then you better like it, as the verse states. The last part of the verse shows that, yes, as humans, we are going to continually fall. But as Christians, we better make sure that we are repenting daily of our known sins and even repenting for the unknown sins that we are not aware of. But rest assured, God is certainly aware of those unknowns. Just plain and simple, find quiet time each and every day and hopefully the same times each day to praise God and to pray to him. You know, as I said, first and foremost, you got to give him all the glory. Then repent of both the known and unknown sins. Then after all is said and done, is there anything that you need blessed with? But I would suggest doing these prayer vigils in that order. Number one, give him all the glory. Number two, repent of all known and unknown sins. Then finally, number three, then ask for the desires of your heart. But that last part, make sure your desires and God's desires align tightly together. The secret word in this scripture that brings us first to life is utterly. It's completely and without qualification. Absolutely. So looking at it from this one word, God will never completely or absolutely cast the fallen down. Sounds to me that God will show us more compassion than give us a backhand to the head in most cases. So here, number one verse states, God will always show us compassion unless we are totally in contempt of his court. In that case, it would be all hands on deck when it comes to God's dealing with us. Take notice ahead. I will first start with Old Testament scripture, then go on to New Testament scripture. I hope that this will give you similarities and maybe some differences between the two testaments. And I guess we will see what we see. So then on to the next scripture. As we see in Psalms 84, 9 through 12, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You know, what comes to me, and let me reiterate, scriptures can mean different things to different Christians. It all has to do with how or if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you are reading scripture. Yes, I know that the Bible has a general direction for us, but in our times of need, the meaning can become very personal. In saying that, there will be a time when we will not want to leave the church at any and all costs. It will become our sanctuary of peace and well-being in the very near future. I believe it will get to the point that either we will covet the world's ways or go into hiding as a Christian, which will be the church, whether the buildings as we know or the underground church. Yeah, I know that is radical thinking, but it is prophesied for the near future, before the second coming. You know, as the scripture says, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness, and which would be the worldly ways. If your desire is to be a watchman or a doorkeeper for the Lord, then we'll be our sun and shield to shed light and protection in our journeys to come, including our families. Now, the best thing of all is no good thing will be withheld from them who walk uprightly. You know, not only will our blessings be saved in heaven, but also the blessings will be poured down on us, especially good health and long life, as well as the desires of our hearts. You want healing? Then get on board with the Holy Spirit and follow his directions from this day forward. One thing to note is that the harder the direction comes from your spirit, the more important it is to your future well-being. You know, if you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night and you actually do not have to go to the bathroom, it falls between, let's say, 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., you better get up, go to a quiet place, and start praising and praying to God, especially for discernment. You will probably not know what you are to pray for and for what reason So just start praying for that discernment. And if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then this is a great time to just pray in tongues and let God take over. Your prayers will go where needed. You may not know where they go, but they will get there. That is where discernment comes into play. Get to the point with your Holy Spirit to open up the channels of discernment. But be prepared. This is a whole new level of spiritual warfare that you may encounter. Surround yourself with friends who know about being a watchman and being the doorkeeper to God's ways. But truly, you need to be surrounded by these types of people, for they will produce for you such a hedge of protection around you and your family. Plain and simple, we will praise the Lord whether we are small in stature in this world or of great stature in this world. God will treat us the same regardless of our worldly stature. If we are evil, then he will treat us as such, and very harshly, may I add, whether we are great or small in this world. He has many promises for us when it comes to benefits here on earth, when we prove ourselves as his righteous followers, and those blessings being poured out on us all will flow over to our future generations. One thing, though, if there are any strongholds or any unforgiveness with you or in the past history of your lineage, then you better do everything you can to eradicate those strongholds that haunt your history, present and future. It is up to us to get rid of all the unforgiveness that is boiling up, and that will put a damper on any blessings, whether health or wealth, that you desire. Remember this, God no longer has dominion over the earth. We are given that task. So when things go very wrong around the world and even in our own backyards, don't blame God, for it truly falls on us to do the right things by him. You can't praise God when the grave finally finds you, so you better get up and make a difference in this world, one soul at a time. If you want to be blessed, then you better go to the street corner and bless a homeless person with food or just general kindness, smile, pray over him. They need more of that type of love than just giving them change out of your pocket. Amen and amen on that. As seen in Isaiah 65:2, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. If you ever have a secularist come up to you and get in your face and say your God is a hateful to dispute that comment. What I am seeing in this scripture is that God spreads his hands over this entire globe trying to usher in all who live, especially the sinners who have turned away from him. He knows the human race is rebellious towards him, or at least most of them. His hands will continue to be open to all of us to repent and give their lives over to him. One sad thing is they will probably not be willing, or they just don't know how to come back to him, or because it might be their first time. They have no clue that they even know about our God, your God. So what then? It becomes our responsibility as born again Christians to go out into the spiritual warfare battlefield and search these lonely and despondent souls and get them converted. If you are not, as a Christian, willing to do this for God's sake, then you will become one of the lost when the tribulation gets into full gear. And I'm sure you know where the lost will eternally end up. This is one of the hardest things for a Christian to realize, is that it is not enough to just believe in God, but we have to be one of his vigilant workers, cultivating lost souls, and I hope and pray that is you. As we will see here in Isaiah 66:13 through 17, as one of whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For, behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. The scripture of Isaiah 66 can be broken up in two segments. Number one, what I will do and promise towards my righteous followers, and what I will do to those who turn away from me. Notice in verse 13, God is showing himself as God, our mother, when it comes to how he wants to comfort us. remember those days when we were young and so rambunctious, we would have the tiniest of injuries. When that happened, who did you run to? Yes, your mother. Why? Because we would know that she would have much more compassion with our issues than our dad would. Mom would cover us with kisses and hugs like no one else would. That is how God wants us to see him, as loving as our mothers would hopefully be to us. When we would be covered in love by our mother, nothing else mattered. We became instantly happy and worry-free. And then we would go out ready to conquer the world until we got hurt again, then back to mom. That's exactly how God wants to be with us, compassionate, loving, and forgiving. Now start reading again from verse 15, especially for those sinners who refuse to repent and be received in God's loving, motherly arms. He will now come to this earth with fire and with some superhuman chariots, with his rebukes, including flames of fire. With this and his mighty sword, he will plead one more final time to get as many as will to finally repent of their ways. This time, if these sinners refuse to finally come over to God, they will be destroyed once and for all. At this time, you might think, well, let me run away and hide from God. He won't be able to catch up to me. I will hide between this one tree in the garden and continue my sinning ways. He'll never find me. Well, as verse 17 states, you will be condemningly wrong. You will be finally and forever consumed in the fire of his final judgment. Enough said, I guess. As we see in Joel 2, 12 through 13, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn into the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. At this time, let's now take a short break for a word from my sponsor. Okay, for me, in the beginning of this year, 2019, my church was in the beginning of the first week of our 21-day fast and prayer. Why do I say this? Because if you want to receive mighty blessings from God, praying and fasting is a spiritual ingredient to blissful blessings from God. One set note is that most churches and denominations have fallen away from this vitally important Christian walk of obedience. Right there in verse 12, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Fasting, first and foremost, giving up worldly needs, food, to usher in all of God's blessings into your life. Fasting is, I would say, one of the largest doors that you will ever open to his grace. Weeping and mourning through obedient prayer, telling and admitting to God how imperfect you are without him, and finally accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And without him, you finally realize that you will be condemned in the upcoming final judgment day. Hey, I know someone just said as they read this that fasting is too difficult. I can't do a 21-day water-only fast. It would be too hard. There are many types of fasts, you know, that are acceptable to God. One that I find that works personally for me is to fast from midnight to supper time, about 18 hours a day, each day for 21 days, or each week, pick one day a week that you will water fast for a 24-hour period. Whatever works for you will be acceptable to God, as long as you are ready to put all your heart, mind, and soul into it. However, you decide to fast, make sure you increase your prayer time and your scripture readings during this all-important event in your life. Laying it all out there for God to accept and bless you into your life, you truly need to be hooked up in a church that truly lives and breathes prayer and fasting. Without these two important spiritual ways of life in your life, you will miss out on the true blessings of God. God truly has blessings ready for you that have been stored up for you. You just need to know how to open them up into your lives. Well, we have covered all the scriptures in the Old Testament that I believe will anoint and bless your lives as long as you read them, live by them, and continually pray their way into your lives and truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now let's hit on some New Testament Jesus-filled scriptures that I am sure you will hold on to for the rest of your lives. As we'll see in Matthew 23, 37 through 39, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I see here when God would send his prophets out into Jerusalem to speak into their hearts and try to steer them from their wicked ways, the Jews would turn around and stone them, if not outright kill them. We can take the scripture and compare it to our day and time. Are the Christians around the world being imprisoned, if not outright murdered, for their beliefs? God still to this day sends his chosen out into the modern day world to convert people to his glory. And yes, in our modern day society, humans are still killing Christian missionaries for their beliefs. So really, we have not evolved all that much from the days when Jesus walked the earth. No wonder God is not all that happy with our world to this day. As quoted in verses 38 through 39, unless we repent and bless his holy name once again, we will be doomed to his wrath at any day and time of his choosing. So no matter the cost, we must still get out into the world and continue the works of the original prophets who paid the ultimate price for honoring God. It is our duty and privilege as Christians to honor God in this way. For if we do not, then we cannot call ourselves Christians, for that would be blasphemous. We will see here in Romans 5, 8 through 11, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. This is a great promise to those who commit the rest of their lives to following, obeying, and totally submitting to God's ways, no matter the cost to them personally. Now that we have received the atonement from the sacrifice given to us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our old self has died, and we have been promised a new life in Christ. So, with Christ now living inside of us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we now have what we need to go forth and live and quite possibly die for our Lord and Savior, to go out into the world, to go to our neighbor, to ask God to put the people in front of us who he deems needing a word to be put into their lives, to search out the lost souls and get them converted to God's grace. That is our sole duties as followers of Christ. Once you open up to your own personal Holy Spirit, you will have to be ready in a split moment to do as he requests. When your spirit gives you the word and direction, do not hesitate to follow. We will see here in Romans 8, 36 through 39, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, verse 36 starts right off with the hardships that you will endure as his chosen ones. If you are in a church that tells you any different from what the Bible states, saying that to be a Christian is the fountain of youth, every day will be as peaceful as you wish, then I think you need to find a Bible-believing church, a church that will help prepare you for the rough, tough days ahead. For to be a Christian, we will expect to be ridiculed, shunned, and persecuted by those of the world. If you want to gain God's acceptance and grace, then you better be prepared and willing to suffer the consequences of being a Christian. If you need to be reminded, go to any one of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and be reminded what Jesus expected of his chosen 12. They were asked to give up all they had up to that point in their lives to go and work for Jesus. If they weren't willing to do so, then they were passed by and someone else was given the opportunity. Pretty much the same way now in our lives. If you ignore the request of your Holy Spirit, which is God's way of communicating to us, you ignore that small voice with closed mind. And it is a request that God needs of you. He will pass you up and go to the next Christian on his list. You will get passed up for that request and worse. You will give up the blessings that would have followed. But don't fret too much, for he is a forgiving and loving God. Even though we will have trials and tribs along our journey, he will make sure that he will make us much bigger in spiritual stature than any mountain that will get in our way. He will be there for us, and as long as we stay faithful to him, we will always conquer those who get in our way of our spiritual walk in this world. That mountain may look awful big in front of us, but my God is much, much bigger than anything that will stand in our way of the ultimate prize awaiting us. Now, taking communion, I believe, is a very sacrificial, personal one-on-one with God, right there with praying. He knows when you are sincere, so when taking communion, do it knowing that Jesus Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice of his life on the cross. He did it for you and for me to be spiritually free in this corrupt world. If you are unworthy of this, as the verse says, you will eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. No gray area here, so heed the warning. We are to recognize that Jesus selflessly sacrificed himself for us, and that this sacrifice was originally designed to make all Christians as a selfless corporate body, one body in God. When standing corporately as Christians, we should judge and examine ourselves correctly so that this would avert judgment from God within the corporate body of the church. So examine yourselves today and make sure you are right with God. And if you are not sure, through prayer, ask God for insight into your soul. He will let you know what to correct in your lives. What you do not know, he will certainly bring it out of the darkness and into the light. You know, we are so used to, in our past childhood, the paddle spanking, the stand in the corners, the time for bed at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, instead of going out and playing with your friends. Most of these punishments we, for the most part, hated our parents for, and maybe even talked back at them. And all that did was escalate the punishment. Since we were so used to these types of treatment from our parents of our childhood, we either have forgotten or have put aside the fact that God can and will discipline us in the same manner. So because of that, we do not take his spiritual instructions for us enough to heart. With some people even questioning, so what can he really do to me for not listening? For he is not skin and bones. He is a spiritual entity. Why should I be afraid of that? Unfortunately, there are many Christians that live in that confusing state of chaos. Taking a look at verse 11, God will most certainly discipline us as to what the sin that we committed. Are you looking for a blessing? Well, not today, because of that itsy-bitsy sin you did yesterday. He may not physically beat us to a pulp, but most assuredly he will discipline us by not granting us our more than likely prideful wishes. As 11 states that he will discipline and we will probably not like it, but if we learn by our sinful ways and repent, our discipline will turn into peaceable fruit of righteousness. If we truly learn from our mistakes, we will in turn be forgiven, no questions asked. Then as we see in verses 12 through 15, we feel rejected and beaten down, weak from all the chastening from both the world and our Lord, feeling like we have been boxed in. Make straight paths for your feet, follow peace with all men, and maintain a stature of visible Christ-like demeanor, holiness. Become a disciple for God, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, by helping them to get back up on their feet, proclaiming to them of the love of Jesus Christ that is waiting for them. Walk them through the sinner's prayer, maybe pray and have them repeat Psalms 23 with them. What comes out of that encounter, I can guarantee you, is that you will be equally as blessed as them when the walk is complete for them. That is our main job here on earth, to bring the kingdom down to the lost souls of this world, proclaiming the joyous gospel to the nations. Have you been baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit? If not, I highly recommend it to get you to that next level, next spiritual level, a level that will get you much closer to the blessings of God. If you have, then you are now new creation, a born-again child of the Most High. Now that you are at this level of faith, we will sin no more, and we have a guardian angel now all around us that the devil will never be able to penetrate that force field around us. As long as we stay righteous and sin-free, we will always have our armed guards around us, ready to go at a moment's notice. We start sinning again, which is always a possibility because of our human frailties, then our guardians will become weakened. Verse 19 will prove that we need our guardians, for the whole world lieth in wickedness. I would truly recommend that you copy verses 20 through 21 down and make them your favorite of all times verses to memorize and live day by day in and out.